Hello, welcome to Nikon Report, your weekly round of all the latest Nikon news and all other photographic announcements that we found interesting. It's Konstantin here.
And this is Becky.
It's number 99.
Wow.
We got quite a bit of news today. A lot of them are Nikon news. And let's start with the firmware updates. We've seen quite a few firmware updates this week. D850 is one of them. It's version 2.1.3 already. What did they add, Becky?
They added portrait impression balance to the photo and movie shooting menus. So there is more information available on what this exactly means. There is actually a supplementary firmware update manual available for the D850. It does have a small caveat in the list of updates, which says to view raw pictures taken using firmware version 1.3 or later on a computer, you will need to update NX Studio to version 1.3.1 or later and Picture Control Utility 2 to version 2.4.14 or later.
Which they also released this week.
Mm.
But portrait impression balance, think about it as a picture control setting, more or less, that does good things to the skin tones.
That's right. And the key point there is if you are going to use something like portrait impression balance and you're shooting in RAW, then you have to use Nikon software in order to see those effects. Obviously, if you shoot in JPEG, then the changes are made to the JPEG and they can't be reversed. If you're shooting in RAW and then you open that up in a different software, whether it's Capture One or Lightroom, you won't see the effects of portrait impression balance. So that's the whole point in adding that caveat.
Do you think portrait impression balance is a direct translation from the Japanese?
It might be.
Yeah.
Portrait impression. I don't really understand where the impression bit comes from, because you've got kind of like portrait picture control.
Yeah.
And you've got neutral and then you've got flat. You've got a few different. So what's portrait impression? Yeah.
That's the thing. I would just call it maybe a skin tone picture control or something like this, but make it a little bit more accessible to general folks like us, you know?
So that we understand what they're talking about.
Exactly.
Now, they also fixed an issue that resulted in attempts to initiate lock mirror up for cleaning in the setup menu, which would then cause the camera to display the message, disable the network connection in the Bluetooth menu and lock the mirror in the down position, preventing it from being raised for cleaning. So this is quite important. They've now fixed that issue. So if you were trying to lock your mirror up for cleaning, now you can.
Normally what they would say, not available in this state of the camera, which can be anything.
Can mean so many things.
But 99%, you either have Wi-Fi enabled or you have time-lapse on.
That's right. So if you have Bluetooth enabled or airplane mode enabled, then in the past, this would then cause an issue. Now should all be fine with the firmware update. They also updated some lenses.
Yeah, there are quite a few of them. All of those are very long telephoto lenses, or exotics, as it's trendy to call them now. So we had firmware update for 400mm 2.8 VR lens, a 4.5 VR lens, 600 f/4 lens, as well as Z800 6.3. All of them added literally the same thing.
Yes, so the lens now supports options for focus ring rotation range in the camera custom settings menu, in addition to non-linear. When a linear option is selected, rotating the focus ring, the selected amount in manual focus will take the lens from the minimum focus distance to infinity, regardless of the speed which the ring is rotated. We talked a little bit about this because they did this update for some other lenses within the last couple of weeks.
Exactly. We had them implemented in prime 1.8 lenses as well as zooms last year.
That's right. So now, essentially, your manual focus ring will act like a manual focus ring, the traditional style, as opposed to the way that the Z manual focus rings work. They also added support for the switch focus control ring roles feature in the camera custom settings menu. And it is worth noting that as of January 2023, the cameras that support these options are camera firmware version 2.0 in the Z9 and from version 1.4 in the Z7II and Z6II.
Fantastic. All the links to firmware updates from the cameras to the lenses are in the description under this video. Now, speaking of firmware updates, Nikon is rumored to release more firmwares for those forgotten cameras like Z6 and Z7. Now, this comes from Nikon rumors. There's no proof whatsoever. It's just one line that they're rumored to support those cameras.
Okay.
Now, this is nice and dandy. I personally would like to see a little bit more concrete evidence that this will happen. But since they're going to update those cameras, according to Nikon rumors, let's talk about wish list. So what else would we want to be added to those cameras? First of all, obviously, I want it to become Z9 and have the same autofocus system. Now, this is place number one. Yeah. But in more realistic features, what do we want there?
It would be nice to have a clean readout, so a clear view option of the rear screen where you have none of those extra bits of information. Ooh. Just having a straight up clear view would be wonderful.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, Z9 has this feature already, so you know, it can trickle down to cameras like Z6 and Z7. Now, linear manual focus, that this feature has been implemented to long lenses this week. Now, Z6 and Z7 doesn't support those. We have them in the new cameras, but not the Z6 and Z7. So I would personally love to see that feature implemented in those cameras.
Yeah, you know what I would also like is, although I don't know if this is possible based on hardware, but on the Z6 II and Z7 II, something that nobody really talks about is when you half pull out the rear LCD, it then disables the sensor above the viewfinder. Mm. So you don't get that, oh, I'm holding the camera here and my shadow is turning off the back monitor. That's always incredibly frustrating when we're out in the field shooting. So if it were a firmware option to then just prevent that back screen blackout when you pull out the monitor.
That's true. And also people with large noses as well. I mean, they have to be included as well, I think. It's difficult to have a large nose to start with. But then if your eye sensor does this to you as well, that's not very nice, Nick. And that's all I say.
It's not fun. Other possibly more realistic things, they could extend the shutter times to be on 30 seconds. We've got that.
Exactly. They have them in Z6 II and Z7 II cameras. Yeah. So why not? And then MCN10 has been released recently and currently in stock all over the world. Then let's implement the support of that gizmo in there.
Would be very cool.
And it is possible. It's not a hardware limited.
No. And then the last thing would be autofocus. I mean, IAF is something that's quite limited on the Z6 and Z7. To have it available in all the different area modes would be very cool. Obviously, there's going to be 6.2 and 7.2 users out there that are going to say, well, if they added all that stuff to the 6 and 7, what's the point in my camera? You've got an extra memory card slot. What else?
Well, there's a lot of little tiny features, like an extra processor that God knows what they use there for, but
it's very useful.
It's very useful, apparently. And all we want to say to you is, I haven't seen Z9 update for the whole month. You know,
right.
What's going on? Where's my Z9 firmware update?
That's right.
You know, jokes aside, obviously, you all going to write the comments, where is firmware for this and where is firmware for that?
Yeah.
Comments are there. Just, you know, knock yourself out, clearly, you know. But tell us what other features you want Nikon to implement in the new cameras. So I say ZFC again, linear focusing would be really nice.
Yes.
Because that camera kind of, the whole design of it makes you think, I want to focus manual.
Yeah, it kind of asks for you to put a manual focus lens on it.
So let us what you think about those firmware updates. And who knows, maybe Nikon will support them, maybe not. D850 is still being updated. D6 had update recently as well.
Right.
So I'm sure that Nikon won't forget about you, the user of the camera that hasn't seen the firmware update recently yet, but it will come eventually. Now, Nikon also released some software updates as well.
Okay.
Which are those, Becky?
So they updated Picture Control Utility 2 to version 2.4.14.
Nice.
In this, they added support for the D850 firmware version 1.3.
Yeah, the portrait impression thing.
That's right. They added support for Mac OS Ventura version 13.
Good.
Picture Control Utility 2 now runs as an Apple Silicon native application on Apple Silicon computers. They also ended support for Mac OS Catalina version 10.15. Sad.
But that's cool. The M1, M2, and the Pro versions of the Apple Silicon support, this is really nice to have. So technically, if you are a MacBook user, you should notice, first of all, stability improvement, but hopefully some speed improvements as well. And I've actually recently updated to Ventura. I was waiting for quite some time.
Mm.
And I didn't know that Nikon software was not supported. You now can safely update to the latest operating system, and hopefully it makes you feel different. Do you actually see the feature list of the operating system update or like iOS update? Do you actually read through the like feature list and all that?
I will be honest, I don't. I usually just do the update blindly and then I go, oh, they changed something. And I know that's not the right way to do it. I really ought to read the list first, but I kind of trust the system to a certain degree.
That's true. Who has time for this? I mean, I'm as a proud parent of a dog, don't have time for those things. And I don't even know what parents of actual human beings, when they can find time for those things.
No, exactly. So I just kind of go, look, there's some security updates. It's important to keep your software up to date for security reasons. Same with my phone. Sometimes it does something new and fancy. And there's that guy, Sydney, whatever his name is. Here's something I didn't know until I was in my 30s, videos. And he did a whole bunch on Apple shortcuts that I just discovered. Mm. And I was like, well, I didn't know either.
Well, apparently iOS system has lots of macros as well, which you can build up, and it does lots of those different steps and actions in one click and things like
that. So many things that it can do now, which is mind-boggling. Yeah. But I don't actually have time to set a lot of that stuff
up. Exactly. For me personally, as long as it looks prettier and they add the animations, I'm happy with it.
The animations, as long as your screensaver moves around.
Exactly. And I was the guy who used to tinker with Windows and install them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so like,
of course you did.
The life has changed. As soon as you get kids, even the dog kids. You simply don't have time for things like this. But NX Studio basically added all these bits that you've mentioned.
It did.
But then also they fixed some bugs, which is nice to have. And they also improved the responsiveness of image display and features on Apple Pro Display XDR monitors. Again, if you're into Apple ecosystems, you will see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, then probably it's not a big issue.
No. They did a bug fix. They did the vibration reduction information for pictures viewed in NX Studio with sometimes.
That's actually quite useful, isn't it?
Yeah. And also occasionally the crop factor would be incorrect. So they fixed that as well. If you were someone who was having an issue with it, then do definitely update your software.
Now let's move on to some rumors. So again, Nikon rumors with their brilliant reporting this time. They say Nikon is expected to release 8 new Z lenses in 2023. No confirmation, no sources, but they looked at the updated roadmap. They found 8 lenses that the silhouettes of those we have on the roadmap, and they say they are expected to release this year. So let's go through this and discuss. I mean, generally, I enjoy the rumor bit of things, but if it just says this and no confirmation whatsoever, I feel a little bit skeptic and feel that it's a bit of a lazy reporting.
Sure.
So we are lazily going to report this now and discuss all this.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. So in DX, we have 12-28, so that's a power zoom.
Definitely a needed lens. I'm not excited about the fact that it's a power zoom yet. I don't know what it means, but when I think of power zoom, I think of the Nikon One system and that 10-100 power zoom, which was this chunky lens. And then they did the compact version, which was like a quarter of its size. So I am a little bit worried about that, but I'm hoping that because it's a 12-28 focal length, it's going to be very appreciated.
I almost feel like we need to have two versions of this because just a kind of a plain classic 12-28 would be nice just for photographers. But then power zoom would be nice for videographers, Z30 users, Z50. And then if you somehow can set up a speed of that power zoom and the smoothness of that, that would add a lot of features to videographers.
Yeah, and I think that it being power zoom, perhaps depending on how they implement the power zoom functionality, it could actually be totally fine to have one version of the lens and maybe you can treat it as a normal lens. I don't know. It depends on how they implement it, isn't it?
Personally, I do like just a standard 2 rings, one for focusing, one for zooming. But, you know, when things like this come out, I always feel awkward a little bit because you kind of need to learn how to use those point and shooty things.
You feel awkward. It's an interesting way to put it. Good.
When they take away control.
I feel awkward.
All right. Then the next one on the list, we have 24DX lens. Okay.
An odd little muffin lens, that one.
Yeah. I mean, with all the love that Nikon gave to DX lineup on their Z mirrorless system, do you think the 24 is going to happen?
I mean, I don't see why not. They're basically looking for a compact prime. Why it has to be a DX compact prime and what's wrong with the 28 as it is, and the 26, which is upcoming, I don't really know. So I don't totally understand the point in a DX-specific 24mm, but maybe when it comes out, all will become clear.
Well, 24DX means 36 mil focal distance. So it's basically a classic 35 for DX users.
Yeah, which is unusual because in the past, they've gone 35DX, which was our 50 in a prime. They've even done a 10.5 fisheye, which was a 16mm fisheye, but they've never done a 24. So that's why I'm a bit confused by it, but not because I think there's anything wrong with it, just because we've already got a 28 and a 26. So why do we need a 24?
Yeah. But I would say that we also need the 35DX as well as 24 and make them cheap, like they had the G version, which was about £150 or so.
Yes.
And that way, if you're a 35 user, you're going to get that one. If you are a 50 mil user, then you're going to get 35DX, you know, which gives you 50. So I think we need that. And then that would show some love.
Yeah.
The actual love to DX system. So, you know, that would be cool. Okay, that's fine. Now, 26 f2.8, the pancake lens, that is a very interesting announcement because obviously we have a 28 and the question is, why do we need 26? But it's been announced and it's small and tiny and it's 2.8 as well. So
development's been announced.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's probably easy to say that that one is happening since it's been already developed.
Yes, exactly. And as many of our viewers and listeners pointed out in the comments, it does appear to have a metal mount. So it will set it apart from the 28mm 2.8, it just alone because of build quality.
Yeah. The question is the price.
Yeah.
And then obviously if it's more expensive, but it's good, then you have two options. If you're a 28 user, you're going to get it, let's say, and you want a cheap prime, small, again, paired, let's say, with a full frame ZF, something like this, that would be a nice setup. But then also, if you want to be very discreet, I think full frames that have with 26 also is going to be quite nice.
Yes.
Now, 3512, yay or nay?
I love the idea of 3512. Yeah. Makes me happy, but okay, it's going to be huge and expensive.
Yes, exactly. So now the idea of 3512 as a size of 512 and 8512.
Yeah, it's going to be colossal. I don't know whether that's very practical. I'm thinking to myself, in the past, working professionals that have bought 3514, right? I had a 3514.
Yeah.
Love that lens. Yeah. It wasn't the sharpest lens, but it had this kind of a kind of rich quality to it, to the images that other 35s couldn't get. The 3518 I found was fine, but it was just fine. And I'm talking the FX version.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, we're talking the F-mount version here. The S-Line Z3518 is a lens that I have and I use and I enjoy it very much. The thought of a colossal 3512, obviously I don't like the size concept, you know, the fact that it's going to be this really, really chunky lens, but I bet it's going to be magical optically. Yeah. And most of the pros that have had this lens in the past have been theater photographers, event photographers, wedding photographers, maybe who want something wider than a 50 or an 85. So I can see that that's possibly where it's going. Possibly even some fine art photography as well.
And obviously the idea of lens like this is, and the size of it, is to get the best possible performance, just no cut corners whatsoever. And then it has to perform really well at 1.2. Again, if you're shooting low light, if you're pro, you will spend money on this. Now, if you're a casual shooter, you'll probably think twice about the price and the weight, but I'm sure that the performance of the lens itself is going to be unquestionable.
Yes.
All right. The next one up is my favorite pick is Nikon 70-180 f2.8 lens.
I'm looking forward to this lens.
Yeah. I mean, the specs are well known.
Yeah.
The lens is out. We just need to wait for extra weather. Am I a bit feisty today? Yeah. Am I a little bit?
It's a bit much more for than I can handle without more caffeine in my system, to be honest. but it's okay. You do you, boo.
All right. So this one is yay. And it's just the question is when. I mean, I'm surprised that it was put on the roadmap because the other ones were quite surprised.
That it's really weird. I wonder, because the 2875, total surprise, 1728, we were like, what? Where did this come from? And then the Tamron 70-300 came out and we were like, okay, so what's going on here?
I'm even more confused now, yeah.
And then the 70-180 turns up on the roadmap and we're going, so the first two were surprises and now Nikon have gone, oh, well, they know about those, so we're just going to throw this one in there. I wanted a budget sort of medium
zoom. We need that.
Really do need it. The Tamron 70-300, we've reviewed it plenty. We've got more reviews coming out on it compared with the Nikon F mount and stuff in coming weeks. But the fact that there isn't a 70-200 F4, we really felt the lack of it in the system and then in the lineup.
Let's think about affordable zooms. So we have two affordable primes, 28 and 40. I'm very grateful to Nikon for that. Now, what did we actually have in affordable? I'm not talking Tamron 2.8 line. I'm talking 18-140, 24-200. What else did we have with variable apertures? Not much.
Nothing really.
Is that the Nikon's idea of high margin products? High value, high margin. Do you think that Nikon is deliberately releasing all the expensive stuff and not enough affordable stuff.
Well,
do you think it's a double-edged sword?
I do a bit. Yeah, and it is a good question. I think that I don't understand why there wasn't a 70 to 300 or a 70 to 200 F4 or something on the lineup already. And I don't understand why this is where they've gone with the 70 to 180. But because we now have the 17 to 28 and the 2875, it's like, okay, fine. Now it fits. But it would have been great if they had brought out an affordable 70 to 200 F4, a 70 to 300 variable aperture. But we know why they didn't do it but sooner than now. We know because they were trying to cater to all the professionals before the mass market, shall we say.
That's true.
And they were very open about it.
But do you think it's the time?
Yeah, now
to address that situation.
For sure.
One lens I forgot is 24 to 50 as well. And the reason I forgot about it, if you look on the internet, people don't mention it.
No.
So we have 24 to 70 F4, which is fantastic lens.
Yeah.
But it was priced at about $1,000 when it first came out. You can pick it up now definitely on secondhand market at a much more reasonable price. And if you haven't got one and you're looking at the affordable mid-range, that would be a one to go. Now, 7200 F4 is still, I think, is going to be $1,000+.
Yeah.
We need something between, let's say, £600-£700 level
for sure
to compete with Tamron. I mean, we don't need to compete. And Tamron being priced at 899 tells me that Nikon's version is going to be £1,000 as well. But I think we need to have an affordable variable aperture glass for people who just want to buy the camera to take on holidays with them.
Yeah, and I think the 24 to 200 is probably Nikon think, well, you've got it, is that. But we want something which will complement the 24-70 f4 without compromising so much on quality. 24-70 f4 is one of those lenses which is so good for what it is bundled in a kit that you almost think like, you feel like you're cheating a bit.
That's true.
It is a really good lens. So to have a 70 to 200 F4 to complement that would make a lot of sense.
That's true. But I'm also thinking about the DX offerings.
Yeah.
And we do have twin lens kits set up.
We do.
With something like Z50 and even Z30. Well, we have 16-250 and 50-250 lens.
Even with the ZFC.
So we do have 50-250 affordable lens in a DX lineup. We do. I think we need something like this for full frame.
We do. I agree. I concur. Let us know what you think. What do you think Nikon should do in terms of that long range, affordable, mid-range, etc.? What are you after?
Exactly. And let's move on to primes again. So we got ZH512 that's happening, obviously. So give it about a month or so. I'm sure we will hear about it. Now, Z135 1.8. What size are you imagining, basically? I mean,
are you going that big with a 135?
How
big? If it's a 1.8, it can't be bigger than like that.
Well,
right?
We got Sigma. Yeah, it's about that big. You know, it's a chunky lens. But then Nikon does no compromise. It's $5,000 lens, no compromise, no cut corners.
But it is what a 1.8. I think it is going to be about this big.
Yeah, I think Nikon then later will release a PF version with a low aperture. Just like they did with 400 mil and 600 and 800 mil lenses.
4.5.
Exactly.
And it's like this big. No, the 135, actually the 135 is a really interesting focal length. We have a manual focus 135, 3.5 and a 2.8, all of which are no bigger than about that. So obviously they're manual focus lenses. There's less to go into them, but
they
have done them historically.
What happened?
Then what happened?
What happened?
And the manual focus 35-1.8 is... Actually, it's an F2, but anyway, it's huge. So historically, we have a 2.8 and a 3.5 is what I'm saying. And so it would be nice if this one were not too big, but I'm expecting it to be reasonably large. I think it's going to be about the size of our 24-70 2.8.
Okay. Do I need an assistant to carry it for me or a golf cart?
No, it's not a knocked. You'll be fine.
All right. And the last, the most elusive of them all, the one that no one mentions is Z200 to 600 lens. Do you think it's going to happen this year?
Is that sarcasm? Because people talk about it all the time. I really hope for all of our sakes the 200-600 happens this year. If those are the only lenses we see this year, the 200-600 is the most overdue of all of them.
Do you think everything, like all is going to be forgiven? So like as soon as they release this lens, the Z6II, Z7II firmware updates, everything will be just forgotten?
I think there will still be people asking for the perspective control lenses. But anyway, but those aside, I think we'll be good.
All right.
Excellent.
All right, let's move on from rumors to CP Plus which is scheduled next month, and hopefully we will see some announcements there. Now, Nikon launched dedicated CP Plus website, so that's really nice. They had one for CES, now they have one for CP Plus. There they have the talk schedule, the guests, the hosts, you name it. So, and also, just so you know, if you're in Japan and you're at CP Plus, Nikon will have a booth at Pacifica Yokohama venue.
They've also updated their new website. The Nikon UK website is a little bit different. If you've gone on recently, you'll notice. Yeah, they've gone into dark mode. They've gone dark mode.
That's true. What annoys me sometimes with all the website redesigns, when you need to find the service and support section, it's now in a different place.
Where is the firmware update?
Exactly.
Luckily for you, anything that we report on, we include links in the description box, so you don't need to hunt around on the Nikon website for those firmware updates.
That's true. Now, let's move on to some corp news. Nikon successfully completed the public takeover of SLM, which is metal additive manufacturing company that Nikon wanted to acquire some time ago.
Right.
It's 3D printing in metal, basically.
That's right,
and Nikon is moving in that space because they think it completes their vision of 2030. So they've issued a statement that they now finally completed it. They also issued another statement saying how they completed in terms of stock and shares repurchase, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're into that, definitely have a look at this. But the CEO of Nikon, Toshikazu Omatate, had this to say. Are you preparing your Japanese?
Yeah. Imagine if I just started talking Japanese. He said, "We are very pleased that our transaction has progressed successfully and we're looking forward to partnering with SLM. We value SLM's capabilities in the metal additive manufacturing space, and together we can provide holistic solutions at an accelerated pace to customers in a variety of industries around the world. We look forward to enhancing and growing our digital manufacturing business, which we are confident will lead to a revolution in global mass production."
That's very cool. You know what I want to see is every time I complete PayPal transaction, the CEO of PayPal is going to say, "We are very pleased that our transaction has progressed successfully."
Like that.
Yeah. That would be amazing.
Now in some Nikon owner news for you. For those of you who have already subscribed to Nikon Owner Magazine, you'll be delighted to know that we've already received a sneak preview of the new copy.
You say there's a new issue coming up.
Yes. Now, a few weeks ago, actually before Christmas, we shared this image on our live stream, but I wanted to show it to all the Nikon Report viewers because it's sometimes a different crowd.
That's true. So straight from the press,
still warm. I've got a big version.
Yeah, straight from the oven.
I've got a big version. And I can't hang it up behind us because of the face recognition. But that stunning shot there, that is the new issue of Nikon Owner. It is this big. No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
It's magazine sized.
Taken by a master of flash photography.
Joe McNally. That's right. So this issue will be out very, 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 very soon. Got lens reviews, photographic articles, all of it, all in the magazine. If you're not a subscriber, you can subscribe via the Nikon Owner Magazine website. And for the month of January, you can get a £20 voucher off your next purchase from Grazer Westminster.
Oh, that's going to take off some money off that night.
That's right.
Very good. Let's move on to reviews then. So first one up is a battle between Z400mm f4.5 lens and 500mm f5.6 f-mount lens, where yours truly compared the two and gave it to you straight.
In the cold.
I still can't feel my fingers.
All these weeks later.
All those fingers are fake.
So we put the TT1.4 on the 400 4.5 in order to give it a more kind of equal comparison to the 500 5.6. And we give you our verdict on what we think in that video. So do go check that out on the Grazer Westminster YouTube channel. We also have the most surprising camera I have used in years by Verge. And this is a Z9 review by Becca.
Yeah, it's another Becker. A lot of Beckers
into
photography.
I don't.
No, you're Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Rebecca, mother.
I'm only Becky, unless I'm in trouble, or unless I'm doing an interview.
What did I do wrong? So Becca from Verge reviewed the camera, and the reason I put it there is because if outlets like Verge shoot a video on Z9, that has a lot more people watching.
Mm.
Not the photography crowd. Not you and me and Becky.
No.
From Grace.
Not us.
Not from Verge. These reviews, while maybe not important to you, They're important for everyone else. Keep that in mind, because this can make more sales of that night than a review of influencer.
There you go.
Good. Let's move on to Weekend Read and Watch. And here we have Richie and Nikon Europe with the Nikon Sessions episode number 2. In the second episode, they're joined by Carolyn Mendelson and Tara Florence, and they talk about portraiture. The first one really knocks it out of the park, so I'm looking forward to the second one myself.
Absolutely. Now we also have some basic Z camera system advice by Tom Hogan. That's on his the Z system user blog, so do go check that out for some reading.
So if you are another system user and you want to know what's actually happening in the Nikon Z system and what camera would be equal to one that you have, or if you're looking forward to buying a new Nikon camera, that's a quick breakdown of what is currently available at Nikon system. Now, another cool video to watch is called Restore and Abandon Nikon Coolpix 5700 After 20 Years. So he found it in the mud. He took it apart, washed everything with nice soapy water.
Nice.
You know, put it all together and it worked. Beautiful stuff. Have a look at that. Brilliant. And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you very much for watching and or listening. Please give us a like and a subscribe if you're on YouTube. Give us a follow, a rating, perhaps even a review if you're listening on a podcast platform. We'd appreciate it immensely.
Yeah, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Unlimited all over the world. So if you want to listen and not watch, then that's the place to be.
It is. And if you'd like to find us on the internet, you can find us on Instagram. I am at Rebecca_Danese. The shop is at Nikon@Grays.
And I'm at Konstantin Kochkin. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.